Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we want to bring you more than a song. We want to give you our hearts, give you our lives, give you our minds. And Lord, this morning we want to offer you up our ears. So Lord, give us spiritual ears to hear your truth, to understand you maybe a little better, to honor our moms, to honor the women in our lives that so faithfully care for the little ones, Lord. And so Father, be with us this morning, speak to us this morning, and may we hear from you this morning so that we might grow in the knowledge of you. And Lord, be blessed. We want that blessing of knowing you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning. How are you? Happy Mother's Day. Whee! Yeah. Great to have you here. Hey, I didn't know this, but Pastor Steve DiNicola is here from California. Everybody, you know him. That's Brent's daddy. No, mommy, though. Yeah, okay. Oh, she's with Abby. Oh, there you go. Nice. Well, it's great to have you here. Listen, next week, our children's church is open. Woohoo! Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Also, BCF will start. After second service, we'll have BCF. Now you're going, what is BCF? It's Biblical Counseling Foundation. It is a powerful, powerful, life-changing study. If you've never done it and you want your Christian walk turned upside down, or should I say right side up, this is a class to take. But know this, it's 22 weeks. It's quite a commitment. Don't just sign up because, ooh, it sounds good. No, I'm telling you, it's going to put you through the ringer. It will. But if you go through it, if you can complete it, you will be all the more blessed. So BCF starts next Sunday, right after second service. I'm going to give you time to go and grab some Munchables, bring them back, have them in the class, or you can wait, whatever you want to do. But it's going to be awesome. Also, next week, I've noticed we've already gone ahead and made masks optional. That's okay. But next week, it's official. Facebook land, masks are optional. If you want to wear one, make sure it's decorative. No, I'm just teasing. Also, listen, Wednesday night, I am going to do an update on the Rona. I have to say that because otherwise they might take our video off Facebook. But I'm going to do an update. If you be ready. I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm going to have plenty of facts, plenty of detail, plenty of videos so you can hear it from their own mouths. And so if you're interested, come on out. If you want, just watch on Facebook or YouTube. So that's this Wednesday, an update on where we are, what's going on, and the truth behind this whole thing, or as much truth as we know. There you go. Hey, real quick, before we get into the message, I'd like to ask Daniel and Richard to come up. Daniel Bowen and Richard Burleson. Is Richard here? Oh, there he is. Now, these two young men are graduating this year. And they make me feel tiny. But these two awesome young men, they are graduating. And unfortunately, listen, it's their senior year. And because of this virus, they can't even have a full-on graduation. It breaks my heart. But here's what we can do. We can pray for them as they get ready to go off on the next stage of their life. And just ask that, one, that they stay faithful to the Lord. And number two, that God just have his hand upon them and bless them the whole way. So would you please join me in praying for these two guys? Father God, I just want to lift these two guys up to you, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, as they enter the next chapter of their life. I pray that they would never lose sight of who is Lord, who is Savior, that they would not be shaken in their faith, that their faith would grow stronger, and that they would never, ever fall away from you, Lord. And so, Father, would you please hold them in your hand and thank you that we can recognize all their hard work as they are graduating this year. And so, Lord, bless them and many other youth that are not being able to have their graduation ceremonies. But, Lord, we can pray and lift them up and know that you will bless these guys. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. 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 God bless you, man. All right. Now, if you would please open your Bibles to John 19, verse 25 through 27. Now, if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Now, understand this. We're going to bounce off of this verse. I'm not going to do my regular where I pick it apart. We're going to bounce off that. But this morning, I've entitled our message, We Honor Moms. And that's what we're going to do with this message. Now, I want you to remember this, that in 1 John 4:16, we're going to look at John, the Gospel of John 19. But in 1 John 4:16, it tells us that God is what? Love. That's right. And it's interesting because God is a three-letter word that represents love. Well, guess what? Mother, mom, is a three-letter word that also is a depiction of love. Maybe not quite in the same way, but we're going to see that there are a lot of parallels between them. Now, although this message is about moms, men, I don't want you to check out. Gals, if you have are without children at this time, I don't want you to check out. Because you know why? Let me ask you this. How many people here have parents? Right. Well, listen, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to venture to say that probably one of them was a mom. That you had a mom. Hey, yeah, look, hey, there you go. See, I'm not so dumb after all. I figured that out on my own. So let us establish, since we all had a mom, let's establish what is a mother. Let me look up the definition. The definition says a biological and or social female parent of offspring. That is the definition. And I thought about, you know, that would not make a very good Mother's Day card, would it? Happy biological and or social female parent of offspring day. I love you. But that is the actual definition. And we laugh at that. Why? Why do we laugh? Because we understand that there is so much more to mom. In fact, we know this. Moms often don't get enough credit for all that they do. And I thought about this. Did you realize that moms prove that evolution is false? And you say, how so? Well, think about this. If evolution truly worked, why don't moms have more than one hand, or more than two hands? They definitely need them. If evolution is based on necessity, moms would be octopuses. But they're not. Because moms do so much. Moms do. Yet, in all that moms do, they do this because they so deeply love. And for that reason, this morning, we are going to honor our moms. Now, looking at Mother's Day, let's look at the history of, we looked at the definition of Mother's Day. Well, how about the history of Mother's Day? Mother's Day began 106 years ago. A gal named Anna Jarvis was moved and she was compelled to honor her mother. And so in her church, St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Gaffton, West Virginia, she decided to ask the pastor if they could honor mothers on a particular day. He said, sure, why not? Well, President Woodrow Wilson got wind of this, and so he made a presidential proclamation May 9th, 1914, to have the first official National Mother's Day. And since then, we know this, that it has spread to many parts of the world. Now, did you realize this? That Anna Jarvis never married. She never became a mother herself. But her mother had such an impact on her life that she felt the need to honor her mom. And because of that, now we honor our mothers one day a year. Now, let me say this. I think that mothers deserve more than just a day of honoring when we realize all that they do. But hopefully you'll grasp that with me as we move through here. Now, that is when we began to honor mothers. But do you know when the accurate, when is the complete and actual first Mother's Day? Well, the first Mother's Day, the first time a mother was honored is found in John 19, verse 25 through 27. Let's read it. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, and he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her home to his own house. Isn't that interesting? Listen, we read that and we sometimes just glance over it. No, you have to understand, this is absolutely incredible. Why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross. He's been beaten. He hasn't slept. He hasn't eaten. He's been rejected by his own people. He's even been rejected by one of his own friends, betrayed. He is separated from the Father as the Father pours upon him the wrath, as he pours upon him all the sins of the world. The totality of every sin ever committed is being poured onto the one who knew no sin. And in the midst of all that, which, by the way, we can't comprehend what that means, in the midst of all that, instead of thinking of himself, he thinks of his mom. He honors his mom. Listen, some people, and even in lesser turmoil, can do nothing more than think of self. I gotta admit, if I were hanging on the cross, I'd be probably saying, "Help me, please, someone care for this, hurts." I'd be all swept up in me, and Jesus can't do that. He sees his mom and he honors her by saying, "I'm concerned about you. So, so concerned." You know, it's been reported that during wartime, many strong, virile soldiers, once having been broken, will cry out for their mommies. Listen, when we are hurting, when we are down, when we are broken, oftentimes we want that comfort that comes from mom. And here in this situation, instead of Jesus crying out to his mom for comfort, he cries out with concern. That's incredible. This is truly the first Mother's Day, the first time that a mom is honored, and what an honor. Do you realize that Mary was the only woman, as Jesus was growing up, she would be the only woman who'd be telling the whole truth when she said, "Jesus is such a good boy. He's the only good one." Listen, he even said, "There is none good except Jesus." Every other mom, I know every mom says, "Oh, my little boy, my little Sally, she's great." Can you imagine? Jezebel had a mommy. And her mommy was probably proud. "Oh, look at my little Jezebel is a queen of unrighteousness. Yay, you go, girl." Yikeronis. Listen, Jesus is teaching us right here that we should honor our mothers. He's in great pain, and all he could think about is honoring his mom. Now, side note, and I have to do this because you know this is the way I am. Notice what the Lord didn't say. He didn't say, "John, take care of Mary, and don't forget to pray to her." He does not. Jesus honored Mary, but he didn't venerate her. And notice Mary doesn't say, "Listen, Jesus, I'm Mary, full of grace. I don't need anyone to take care of me." No. Listen, she is in need of a Savior. Yes, is she blessed among women? Yes. Is she favored among women? Yes. But she's still just human. She's still a woman. She is blessed as a woman because of all the women in all of history, she is the one who gave birth to the Messiah, Jesus wrapped in flesh. But no, don't mistake this. He died to save us. He died to save her. And yet, even upon the cross to save her, he cares for her, even in the simple things, like who's going to take care of my mom? What a Savior. What a Lord. What a God. What an amazing, amazing person we find in Jesus Christ. So we should honor our moms. Now, there are parallels between the way a mom loves and the way Jesus loves. looking from a calculated, worldly wisdom perspective, to have a child seems foolish. Why? The expense is enormous. 18 years of it. Then college. To embark on parenthood is foolish. Why? It's hard work. Sleepless nights. To embrace motherhood seems to defy logic because of the stress, right? You're worried about your kid when they get a sniffle. Is it serious? When they fall down, is it serious? Your little boy, you got a little boy, he joins sports and you're afraid they're going to get hurt, break an arm, break a leg. Or you got a daughter, you're worried about who's she going to marry. There's a stress. So looking from the expense, from the hard work, from the stress. But when you lay that alongside of love, it makes it all worth it. That's what love does. Love doesn't see cost or stress or hard work. Just love just goes, ooh, this is good. Motherhood has a power and a beauty that is comparable to God's love. Listen, not equal. Trust me. If you took all of our love and every human being who loves on the whole planet, multiplied it by a billion, it still wouldn't equal God's love. But it's comparable in some facets, and you'll see what I mean. The Lord Jesus went to the cross because of love. And then he said this in John 16. If you want to turn there, please do. And we'll see a parallel here. John 16, verse 21 and 22. He says this, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into this world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know he suffered the pain on the cross. He suffered the sin being poured upon him. A mother, a mom, she suffers her pregnancies, the discomfort, the morning sickness, the stretch marks, the acid reflux. Then, of course, the actual giving birth, that incredible pain. But that goes along with Hebrews 12:2 that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, for the joy. A mother endures the pain of birth for the joy that is set before her. When she holds that baby, it's like, ah, it's worth it all. Because there is stress, there is sorrow leading up to the actual labor. And Jesus says, hey, listen, when a woman has a baby, she suffers that pain, but then she soon forgets the agony. Why? Because she has that baby. Jesus Christ suffered the pain on the cross because as soon as he saw you or I come to him, he goes, it's worth it, even if one of us gets saved. And by the way, if you're here today and you haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ, please, he loves you and he did it for you. Jesus said there in Luke 22:44, we saw, he says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great droplets of blood falling on the ground. When Jesus is in the garden and he's praying because he knows what's coming up, he's in the labor pain, if you will. He's praying and he has a hematidrosis, the droplets, the capillaries bursting in the sweat mixed with blood. By the way, later that morning, this is interesting, Peter's going to be warming his hands by the fire. What does that tell you? It's cold. Jesus is praying. It's cold at night and he's sweating. What does that remind you of? How about the delivering room that's cold? You ever go in a delivery room? It's freezing in there. You need a parka. But the mom, when she's giving birth, she's sweating. And of course, there is blood. Jesus Christ is in the cold and he's sweating. It's that agony. But he will not deny himself the cross, just as a mom will not deny herself the pain to give birth. Oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, for the joy that was set before your mom, she endured the birth. What was the joy? You. What's the joy for Jesus? You. What's the joy for your mom? You. That's love. That's an amazing love. Just as a mother endures. See, it's a mom's anticipation of the wonderment of receiving her baby into her arms is just like Jesus, the wonderment that our Savior could save us through the cross and then receive us into his arms. And Jesus, he does find joy when we come to him born again, a new birth. In fact, it tells us that all of heaven rejoices. You know, if you're not saved, heaven is in the waiting room waiting for you to be born. And when you do, they rejoice. They're snapping pictures of you, putting you on the refrigerator in heaven. It's amazing. I love this. One person says this regarding a mom holding her baby. She says, I never knew how much love my heart could hold until someone called me mommy. Jesus Christ, when you call him Savior, that is special. And when you call your mom mommy, that is special too. Yet, think about Mary. There's an irony here, an intense irony. Why? She suffered to give birth to Jesus, to the one who will suffer for her sins. She gave birth for Jesus to be born so that she could be born again. Wow, what? Chew on that for a while. Mary suffered the pain, and then she watched as her son suffered the pain to give her birth, new birth. I try to wrap my head around that, and I'm just like, God, you're amazing. You're absolutely incredible. So we see here, just as Jesus honored his mother, we should honor our moms. They've done a lot for us. In fact, Psalm 127:3 says this, behold, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. You see, ladies, you thought the fruit of your womb was your reward, and it is. But it's also God's reward. It is your reward, and it is his reward. See, God created a beautiful unity between you and your husband. And out of that unity, out of the mother and father, out of the parent, out of the dad and mom, comes birth, a picture of new birth, rebirth, spiritual birth. Both cost, both pain, both doused in love. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. See, God created a beautiful thing when he created mom. In fact, I challenge you to find a more beautiful creation in all existence. I mean, of course, Jesus, but you know what I mean. And thinking of how your mom loves you, or how moms love in general, I think of the love chapter. Forget the love boat. Go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It says in verse 7, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Well, first of all, bears all things, birth. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what a mom does for her children, right? Oftentimes you see these mothers and their children, daughter or son, whichever, could be horrible, but not to mom. Oh, my little boy would never hurt a fly. My little daughter would never hurt a fly. And yet they could be horrible people. But in the mom's eyes, isn't that God looking at us? You and I were sinners. And yet to Jesus, yet while we were sinners, he said, that's my boy, that's my girl. I'll die for them. I'll suffer for them. What an amazing parallel. But But I want you, I need to point this out. Unlike God's love, a mom's love can be imperfect. God's love is perfect. What do you mean a mom's love can be imperfect? Yes, listen, sometimes I've seen moms that enable their children to sin. God won't do that. God will not enable. Love does not enable. In fact, Proverbs 3:12 says it, because the Lord disciplines, I was going to say disciples, well, he does that too. The Lord disciplines those he loves. I've seen moms who refuse to discipline their kids, and they say that that is love. No, you're causing more damage, mom, dad. We should not enable. So, a mom's love isn't perfect like God's love. Another problem sometimes with mom's love is mom's love can sometimes be so strong that it becomes ungodly. Ungodly love? Oh, yeah. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, let me tell you. Sometimes I've seen moms who put their children before their husband. That's ungodly. The Bible is very clear. God, spouse, children, and then anything else. So be careful. Love, moms. But don't let your love enable, and don't let your love supersede what is right according to God's word. It's not good. Now maybe, and I have to address this right now, maybe you had a mommy dearest mom. Well, I want you to understand this. Not only is God a good, good father, but within God, we have two natures. We have lion and lamb. We have the image of God within man and woman. My role as a husband, as a father, isn't the same as my wife. My kids fall down. My kisses, I like what Ken Graves says. He says, my kisses don't have magic like mommy's does. My kids fall down and they want me to kiss a boo-boo. I don't kiss a boo-boo. Go to mommy. My kisses don't have any magic. In fact, his son falls down. Yeah, get it up. Get up. Keep going. Be a man. I get that. That's kind of my attitude. But it's not that I don't love. I just love differently than my wife. And so within God, we have two natures. We have lion and lamb. So if you had an ungodly mom, and it happens, you have a holy father that has two natures. He is a nurturer and he's a protector. He's a provider and he's a savior. We can find everything we need within God. But mom, let's get back to mom. The mother relationship. At its core, there is a relationship that began as love even before the child is born, right in the tummy. Moms, you love that little baby. You feel that baby move. Isn't that the way God is with us? Even before we were born, it says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God knew me in my mom's womb, and he loved me even then. He loved you even then, and so did your mom. She felt you kick. What she ate, you ate. Her emotions were your emotions. Man, we try to understand that, right? We see, it's kicking, let me feel. Ooh, that's creepy. To us, it's creepy. To her, it's joy and love. We're like, that's weird. We sit there and we watch the tummy with the light and we see the bump go up and you're like, ooh, it's like aliens. What's going to come out of there? We look at it differently, men. Yes, we're ecstatic to have children, but don't for one second think that you understand what it's like to have a baby growing inside you. You don't. We have things growing inside us, but we don't talk about it. There's a difference. And it's a beautiful difference. It really is. And that's why, folks, it even hurts my heart even more to think about abortion. That is a baby. That baby feels. That baby knows. That baby responds. It moves. And they can just kill that baby. I can wonder. No wonder it hurts God's heart. And it angers me as well. It's wrong. That should be a beautiful occurrence to have that baby. A picture of Christ giving birth to the church. It's a wonderful thing. It's a unity of a man and a woman that God created and put together. That is God's reward, and it should be your reward as well. Abortion is so wrong. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that. I know that full well. We take all so many things of us, we take them for granted. Our eyesight, our hearing, the fact that your lungs and your heart are beating without you thinking about it. We all, yeah, okay. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by the living God who loves you, and he used your mom to knit you together. Wow. Guys, we want to understand it. I know. Listen, we love our wives and we love our children when they come and we want to understand it. But listen, we can't. In fact, one person said this: if being a mother were easy, men would do it. No, we wouldn't. We don't want to give birth. Man, I remember when I was a young man, the first time I saw a video of a birth and I said, whoa, that is weird. It's like fetal attraction. It's like, ooh. But yet a woman looks at that and she goes, ooh, I want that. What? How in the world can a woman give birth in the first place? See, men, we don't understand that. If I went up to some guy, hey, how would you like to give birth to a child? Like, dude, you're sick. You say that to a woman and her eyes tear up and she's like, oh. Think about a woman, the first baby, the fear, the worry, the unknown. But it doesn't deter a woman. No. In fact, the woman gets pregnant. She's uncomfortable, morning sickness, all of that stuff. Then goes through the pain of birth and gives birth. And she goes, ah, I want another. Please. But there's a connection. You know, moms, when a mother listens to music, if the mother, that baby loves music. If the mother loves to read, that baby loves to read. What the mother eats, the baby, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, no, I'm going to move on. No. Okay. But there's a special connection. Men, we can have a connection, but we can't compare it to what a woman goes through. So going back to John 16, not our initial verse, 16, 21 and 22. So, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. What do you mean she no longer remembers the anguish? I'm sorry, every pain I've ever felt, I can recall what it felt like, and I don't want it anymore, okay? But she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Love doesn't look at the sacrifice. Love doesn't count the cost. Love just gives because he knows that it's going to get love. She no longer remembers the anguish. Wait. Hold on a second. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Right? Remember on the cross, his greatest anguish wasn't the beating, wasn't the pain. The greatest anguish that Jesus had was when all of the sins were poured upon him. He who knew no sin, and he had that separation from the Father, something that you and I cannot grasp. He had that for the first time in all existence, and he did that for you and I. And because of that, he had our sin poured on him. Yet the Bible tells us in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities I remember no more. Jesus Christ chooses not to remember all that filth of mine and yours that was poured upon him that separated from the Father. All he says is, but you're saved and you're mine and you're my baby and you're my son, you're my daughter, you're... What? He also says, in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He says, I don't want to remember that. I just want to remember that you are my child. Listen, I don't know what you've done. Trust me, I've done worse. But he remembers it no more. When you come to him, he washes you clean. All that afterbirth, all that stuff, you yucky, yucky, and gets you smelling like a clean little baby. And of course, like clean little babies, we make messes. And they don't smell good. But today, here we are. And what are we doing? We're really, although we're talking about the parallels, we're here doing what? Honoring our moms. You know, way back in Exodus, and you're familiar with this, in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments in verse 12 of Exodus 20, honor thy father and your mother. Look, listen to this. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So when you honor your father and mother, it extends your life. Why? Because if you honor your mother and father, they won't kill you. But look at Jesus. Even in that, Jesus is fulfilling the scripture. He honored his father. I must be about my father's business. I must be about my father's business. And then even here in his last breath, he's taking care of his mom. He's even fulfilling that for us. But looking from the calculated perspective, looking from the worldly wisdom perspective, to have a child seems foolish, to embark on parenthood seems foolish, to embrace motherhood seems to defy all logic. But mother has a power and a beauty that is comparable to God. Why? Because what Jesus did for us on the cross also defies all logic. He got beaten, we get blessed. He was forsaken, we're forgiven. He received a cross, we receive crowns. He gains every one of us, and we gain everything of him. Who got the better deal? That defies all logic. And yet, for the joy that was set before him, us, he endured the cross. And a mom, that defies logic. For the joy that was set before her, you, she endured the pain. Beautiful parallel. But none of these things, nothing defies logic when love is involved. Love doesn't have to make sense. Do you remember when you fell in love? That's all you wanted. You would forsake everything else just to spend a little time looking into her eyes. Looking into his eyes. And then you get married and you say, stop looking at me like that. I'm joking. But love says, I don't care the cost. I don't care about sleep. I don't care about the pain. I just want to love. That's the nature of Jesus in the cross. That's the nature of a mom in birth. It really is. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, because that time has come. And Jesus said, hey, my hour hasn't come, my hour hasn't come. And then one day he said, this is my hour. And he gave birth to millions through the cross, through his pain and suffering. Moms in the room. You deal with a lot. And we want to say thank you. And if your mom isn't here, if your mom is on Facebook land or somewhere, call her and tell her thank you. And maybe, like some of us, we can't do that because our moms are no longer here. I like what one person said. They said this, speaking of mom and what moms endure. She makes broken look beautiful. She makes strong look invincible. She walks with our troubles on her shoulders and makes them look like wings. I think that's beautiful. See, being a full-time mother, ladies, is one of the highest salaried jobs because its payment is in pure love. That's the best payment we could have. And do you realize that's all God wants from us? He just wants our love. Because if you love him, all the rest will fall into place. There's a great quote. I hope I can read it. I think I'll be fine this time. But, you know, as I said, my mom died last year, towards the end of the year. But she was great. She's an awesome mom. And one person said this: a mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. Man, could I use another hug from my mom. So be grateful for your mom. Be grateful for the women in your life that are mothers. Know that they are a precious gift from God, and that their love parallels an example of Christ's love to us. Don't take that for granted. Be appreciative and honor moms today and every day if you can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we need you to move in our life, to speak to our hearts. Father, may we be grateful for the moms that you have given us, whether it be our biological mom or mom that we are encountering in and watching as they tirelessly serve with joy and love in their heart. God, I pray, Lord, that we would never take for granted the blessings that you pour out upon us. And Lord, there are so many. And so God, I pray today, we pray today, and thank you and praise you for our moms. And we thank you and praise you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured it all to love us and to save us and to allow us to be born again. That's so awesome. God, we love you. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, let's stand and sing one last song unto the Lord.